Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pollarino. Rest in peace, my friend. Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my sweet tea referee, Dave Keener.
So, you know, I'm trying to cut back on that sweet tea stuff because I'm hearing it's got a lot of sugar.
But you're still
salt.
My sweet tea.
No, stop. I understand that, but Diet Coke tonight for me.
You're my sweet tea. Remember that? I really don't care what you're drinking, but you're still the sweet tea.
Oh, I know.
Fans saying sweet tea at shows.
Yeah, I know. Even though you're not there.
I know. It's great. So I've been telling people that goes to Phillies games and you're on the third base side.
First base side.
You're on the first base side now?
I'm on top of the first base dugout. Same place you saw me when you went to the Green Day concert. Man. That'd be first base.
Okay. Now I need to tell everybody it's first base.
Enough about me.
I don't care about you.
Enough about you.
We didn't do anything about me.
I know. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you all to say hi to the Rad Dad, Radley Belmont, and Papa Bear Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cougar, I apologize. Collectively known as the Stepdads.
Wow, you just fucked that up.
I mean, if it was Pop Bear Freddy Krueger, it would have been a different story.
You want to try that again?
No.
Why not?
Because they're laughing at me as it is anyway.
Oh my gosh, I'm a little bit upset.
So we're good.
I'm very sorry, guys. You want to try it again?
Insert you fucked up chant.
I already did. You fucked up.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
But say hi to Stepdads.
Hello, Stepdads. Yeah, how are you guys doing?
We're good. If it makes you feel better, my name gets misspelled on pretty much every promotional thing we ever do. So I'm just used to it at this point.
So it goes to show that the original name of the show was actually the Insiguri Podcast, and nobody knows how to spell the word Insiguri. Like, well, of course, because you had to write it down all the time.
I mean, you know? I know how to spell it, but I also was a spelling bee champ, so we'll
Congratulations for that one.
I do have clapping somewhere.
Huh. Here we go. Good for you, DB.
Yeah. Oh, about time we used that one.
Yeah, needed it for something.
I say this in the nicest way possible. I feel like I'm on a morning radio talk show right now.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yes, that's
See,
what
that's
I had
what
to
we're
feel.
Trying to go for. That's what we want.
We want that feel.
We're trying to be like the Preston Steve of wrestling podcasts.
Yes.
It's gotten so close that we're doing this so much that we even make our commentating debut May 14th in Chicotee, Virginia for Eastern Shore Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, well, that's kind of cool.
It is.
I'm traveling.
Yes.
I don't like to travel.
Especially 4 hours south.
You know I don't like sleeping in hotels.
No. You'll be in the car the whole night, so it doesn't
yes,
matter.
Yes, I will be sleeping in my car.
I'll be in the hotel, probably at the bar.
Yeah. So let's start this whole interview off, because you want to keep on talking about debuts.
I mean, they did say it sounded like an early morning show, so.
Yeah, I love that. I love that feel. Yeah, I mean.
Me too. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.
So,
there you go.
We do have people that don't care about wrestling, but they listen to our podcast.
Because they think we're funny.
Hey, that's okay. We have a lot of people who say they enjoy our wrestling, but they don't like wrestling. So
that is so crazy.
There you go.
That is pretty cool.
I had a guy who goes, yo, I haven't seen a interview up because I was just recently in the hospital. And I'm like, oh, I was in the hospital. I forgot my computer, so I couldn't edit.
I mean, too bad we couldn't go to the hospital and do the shows there in the hospital room.
You could have.
That would
have
been funny.
Yeah, live. But my roommate next to me might be screaming at me.
The 2300 Wrestling Podcast coming to you live from the Wilmington Hospital.
Watch out for the drive-bys.
Right.
I've heard shows come from weirder places.
Yeah. We're in a basement.
Not, like it's a back room. I don't want to say basement.
Wrestled in a church.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome. I like churches. Right. It's a holy moment there.
It's like a holy, yeah.
Yeah. So listen.
I want an entire crowd chant holy poop during a Necro Butcher match as a priest was in the ring announcing the match. So
I will do that.
I will, yeah.
But I might be commentating if that happens.
I know, because we're actually friends with him, so that'd be kind of funny.
Holy poop. I like it.
Instead of saying holy moly or holy crap.
Or you can do it to a Brian Pillman Jr. match. I mean, watch out for the chop and holy poop.
Only if Dan Mapp is involved in that match as well.
Maybe.
The visual of an entire crowd chanting holy poop as Necro Butcher stood in the ring in a Choose Death shirt next to a priest is something I will literally never forget. It's the most insane indie moment I could ever imagine.
I think that right there, that's indie pro wrestling. That's what it is right there.
I'm going to have to ask Necro that story now.
We'll get him on again.
Yeah. All right. That says it all.
We'll get him on. But you just looked up.
My heater just kicked on.
Oh, wow. Why do you have the heater on in springtime?
Because it's like Glenn Frey in this house.
Oh, okay.
The heat is on.
So what I was saying, that we have fans out there that doesn't follow wrestling, but they enjoy us because they said Dave's funny.
And I mean, you're funny too, but okay. I lost the mirror, so I couldn't laugh as much.
Yeah, you died. Okay, thank you. So we would like to know your background right now. Who trained you? Your social security number? Anything you want to give us?
Past history?
So I mean, I'll start. Like, I'll give a little bit of our story starts in the backyard. We were we started as backyard wrestlers with a bunch of friends. And like, when I say backyard wrestling, I don't mean like hitting each other with weapons and stuff. I mean like we had me and like a bunch of friends pooled money together, bought a ring from High Spots, built it in the yard, had guys come by, teach us how to run ropes and stuff. And like we had a legit backyard wrestling promotion in my buddy's yard in central New Jersey. That was how I started, at least. And then from there, you know, everyone else kind of stopped. I didn't when trained out in PA. And then, you know, just grew from there.
That is cool.
Where at in PA did you train?
What was that?
Where at in PA were you training at?
SWO in, out in central PA. It's no one really knows about it, so I usually don't go into specifics.
We're in the Philly area, so...
Yeah, we're in the Delaware County, Philadelphia airport area.
Yeah, where crazy Delco people we're from Delco.
We're about 10 minutes from the stadium district in Philly.
Yeah, so you're from the heart of the area where people say water.
Yes, John, water.
I don't say John. That's the dumbest word I've ever heard in my life.
You live in Delaware.
Right on the shores of the Conshohocken.
Yeah, we go to Conshi.
Dude, I lived in Chi all my life. I didn't live in Delaware.
That's a different part of Delco.
I just moved to Delaware like 10 years ago.
That's like the upper echelon of Delco. That's not South Philly Delco. Completely different Delco.
We say water there.
Yeah, but you don't see one good cheesesteak.
No, because I don't eat cheesesteak.
That's because you're vegan. Moving on.
I asked for vegan water. Stop it.
Next question, please.
So my friends and all, we built a ring out of wood, and then we had mattresses and all that. And I didn't do any wrestling. I did the recording stuff.
While you were building your ring, did you play We Built This City in the background?
No.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
It would have been.
No, Tony Deffen was at my yard fed, not yours.
Alex Zane was at my yard fed.
Yeah, cool dude.
The amount of guys that like went through our yard groups at different times was wild. Like, I Tony Deffen is the first one that comes to mind for me, and then like, yeah, Alex Zane would come out. We had guys like a lot of Chikara, like guys who ended up in Chikara at different points. It's interesting.
Oh yeah, better. Yeah, I enjoy that times. You know what I mean? When we did some shows, we had Ruckus come out.
See him next Saturday.
Yes, we are. Ready? Any more questions? I mean, you want to start the next question? I can edit stuff.
So you guys said you start in the backyard and stuff like that. So I'm guessing you guys were fans growing up. I mean, I know I was. I was a huge fan. Saturday mornings, 9:05, watching the Power Hour. Were you guys fans growing up?
Oh, of course.
I think it's a standard question that if people are involved in the professional wrestling, that you were a fan growing up. Because if you weren't a fan, then why are you doing this now?
But there is some wrestlers that got in the wrestling business and weren't fans.
Oh, yeah, there's a few that I've worked with that had no idea what professional wrestling was until they got there. So, moving on, I'm going to let you guys answer.
I mean, we've definitely run into a few guys who literally knew nothing about pro wrestling until they had their first couple of matches, and they blew us away. So I can't hate on that, but definitely at the same time, Wade and I both have had two completely different backgrounds when it comes to watching the style of wrestling that we like, because I'm very old school. I grew up watching NWA, WCW. He's a lot more modern with Chikara and Ring of Honor, but those kind of styles mesh super well for our team, so it works out really well in that sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, see, I'm right there with you, because I grew up watching it, because I watched like the USWA and the Mid-Atlantic and the Mid-South and stuff like that, and then when people ask me who my favorite commentator was, and I go Lance Russell, they go, who?
Yeah, that's a shame.
It is a shame.
And they're like, I like Jim Ross. No, mine were Corey Macklin and Lance Russell. Those were my two favorite growing up.
Who was your favorite referee?
Fonzie.
Well, I'm going to tell your brother.
Growing up?
No, I'm just saying, I'm telling your brother.
Mike wasn't reffing when I was growing up.
I know, but
though.
I didn't ask you when you were growing up. I'm going to tell Mike now.
See, because I can go back and I can watch Fonzie when Fonzie was in the WWE, and I can watch Teddy Long when Teddy Long was reffing in WCW before he was a manager.
But I can watch ECW and watch your brother, Mike.
And you can watch Finnegan, you can watch Pee Wee, and you can watch my brother, and you can watch Jen Molina, who I'll be with in 2 weeks refereeing with.
Are you going to like go crazy? Look, I'm marking out. I'm going to work with Jen.
Well, when Molina found out that he was repping with me, he was like, okay, we'll be good. We'll be all right.
So
it's Well, was the Jim Molyneux was at the last LTW show, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was. And so was I. We were both there.
That was really cool.
I took a pretty brutal knee from Mike Goldstein, so.
I was watching from the corner in the shadows.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did it look good?
How did it look?
I looked solid. I mean, that whole match was, like, by far my favorite match of the night, so.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the whole thing.
So, my issue, and then move on to this pet peeve question. So the other ref, Dan, who was there, I kind of had to pull him aside and like, hey, Flyer's got his foot on the other guy's neck and you just stood there and didn't count him for being on the dude's neck. I got silence out of that. So that leads into my question. What are your pet peeves?
In the ring or like
anything in wrestling? Anything in wrestling.
Just in general. Because mine, I hate seeing refs that don't have their shirt tucked in and don't know what they're doing. Like we went to a show, a friend of mine named Draven Blaze was running it. And it's no offense to Draven. I know he's a good dude.
He was wearing jeans.
Right. The dude had on blue jeans and black shoes and white shoes.
Well, I'm going to let Wade rant. But he and I both cannot stand when a wrestler doesn't have knee pads in the ring.
See, I'm a ref. I wear knee pads under my cat and my, what would they be? My dickies.
Oh, yeah, it actually drives me insane when I see a guy without knee pads because it's an injury waiting to happen. Like I've been, if I'm doing like a promo in the ring where I might have to like get out of the ring really quick and get out of the way, like I wear knee pads for that because the chance of you just jamming your knee trying to get like drop down and get out of the ring is so high. It happens so easily.
So how do you feel when Cody doesn't have knee pads?
I don't watch.
It's a professional wrestler who doesn't watch wrestling.
I watch so little wrestling because I can't like sit there and enjoy it because I'm just like secretly either coming up with the ways I would have done things different, not bad, just the way I would have done it instead for myself, or like I'm always secretly thinking several steps away from actually watching the match. But as far as pet peeves go, number one on the list, and we talk about this on our podcast, the Thunder Buddies podcast, a lot, is when someone goes for a move that is not a move. Like, we refer to it as the flying nothing, when someone just jumps off the top and then eats a boot in the face. What were you going for? What was going to happen if he didn't put his boot up? You were just going to land on your feet and stand there like an idiot.
See,
drives
that,
me insane.
That, the best bump with that was when Hunter took it and he just stood there. Sean on the other side going, go, go, go.
Oh, yeah. We've actually done that before, a similar version of it. But,
yeah, we did a double version that went with double going.
Yeah.
What about the rainbow clothesline?
So we had Mr. Grimm on the other day, and he's like, what really gets on my nerves is that rainbow clothesline. When you go completely over somebody's head with the clothesline, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't stand
it. I know Mr. Grimm's biggest pet peeve is when he yells at his opponent to get up, and the opponent doesn't get up and just lays there. We actually watched happen in a match where he yelled, get up. Like, he hit the guy with a spear, right? Spear, I think?
Black hole slam.
He hit him with a black hole slam, yelled, get up. You could hear the guy go, no. And then he just pinned him 1-2-3 and the match was over.
Yeah, I would have taken it home. If he would have broke kayfabe and all that, yeah, I would have taken it home. I have.
But it was so funny watching him get up in like, he had like that Edge pose, like right before Edge hit the spear and he's getting all fired up and then just go for a pin and win was the silliest thing I've ever seen. Not his fault. The guy he was wrestling.
Not at all.
Didn't know. Yeah.
I mean, it sure buried the other guy. I'll say that much.
Hey, guy buried himself. He didn't get up.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was the finals to a tournament, by the way. That was the main event. he won a belt.
Nice. Wow.
That's how you send the fans home happy.
What was that, 1CW?
It was Nova Promotions, I believe, up in
Rhode Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the Good Rover promotion.
Yeah, we saw it 2 weeks.
Now they're Supernova Promotions.
Yeah, wow.
Does he know that?
I don't know what's so super about them. Probably the most super thing about them is that the guy did a Clark Kent and hid in the closet to do a quick change when he was supposed to pay us. That's probably the most super thing about it.
Did you at least get hot dogs out of it?
No.
I did not get a hot dog.
Gross.
No fist bumps either?
I
mean, it's hard to fist bump when you're hiding in the closet.
Well, then he's like Michael Jackson, just keep it in the closet.
Oh, damn.
It was very R. Kelly of him.
Wow.
Golden showers for everyone!
They went the same way I did.
I don't know. Brad, do you have any other pet peeves specifically? I'm sure you. I'm not thinking of some, but...
Oh, you know, I never think of them until they happen. I'll say a pet peeve that's a little more inside baseball, which is we're a tag team, obviously. So we like to plan as a team. We like to get both teams together, talk what little we plan for the match or whatever. It's a huge pet peeve when we tell one guy, hey, you know, you got any ideas? What do you want to do? Blah, blah. And they go, we'll wait till my partner gets here. And then their partner doesn't show up for like an hour and a half. And that kind of thing is completely unnecessary. But it does happen once in a blue moon. And it makes me want to jump off a bridge.
Or more recently, when we were planning a match and one of the people just kept walking away and we could never get both guys, everyone together in the match together at the same time. Someone would always wander off.
Or I get this one. All right. Can we get the two tag teams together? No, we'll just call in the ring.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, we've had to do that before and it's better than them just walking off. I'll say that much.
Right. There's been times where I've wrapped a match and I've had to tell the guy, push me, be the heel. So I had to literally, DB was there. I had to, no, you weren't there. My wife was, girlfriend, whatever you want to call her. So she was there and she's like, what was wrong with that guy? I'm like, I told him to push me. Wouldn't push. He was the heel. I'm like, you're the only guy in the ring and I'm the ref and I'm telling you what to do. Get back at me. He's like, what do you mean? So I went chest to chest with him. And I'm like, now push me back. He's like, oh, okay.
Here's the frustrating thing with, like, as far as, like, calling it in the ring is great, and, like, I get that, like, is a good thing to be able to do. When you do a lot of comedy, like, in the ring, comedy takes very specific timing to be funny.
Yeah. So, like you guys.
You can't call that stuff on the fly, so when people aren't, keep walking away, it's so frustrating, because, like, if they don't react to something the right way, and the timing isn't there, like, it could kill... for 2 minutes and then the punchline isn't there because the timing is off, and it's so frustrating. As a ref, you'll appreciate this pet peeve, or just something that happened one time. I went to get in, guy came over, baited me in the ring, hit me. I came in after him and the ref in the match just never got between us and pushed me out of the ring. So I get in the ring and I'm expecting the ref to push me back out, you know, as the ref usually does when the face gets in and then the heels take over behind your back. I come in and the ref just stands there, like not near me, watching me get it. So I had to just walk. So I walked across the ring. I backed the guy who hit me all the way into the corner and just chopped him as hard as I could. Said, now you think about that, and then just left.
Wow. See, now usually for me, the heel, when they see the face get in, back him up, ref, back him up. And working with the new guys, I don't even get that. And I'll go over and check the guy. I'm like, all right, tell me to back him up. Like when I'm working with the new guys, tell me to back him up. And then he'll get loud and he'll do it.
One of my pet peeves is when referees counting at people's feet.
Oh, that's fair. There's so many. Like, this could be a podcast. There's so many. They're just like, why are you doing
this? I'll throw you another pet peeve. That's probably just me. I don't know. You could say. But everyone's been buying new belts since the pandemic ended. Or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Since wrestling came back from the pandemic, a lot of owners getting new belts and getting, you know, putting some money in. You think, all I see on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, every time there's a new champion, I'd say 80% of the time, it's one of these mirror looking belts where it's just all reflection. There's no detail. It's just like slightly etched onto just a tiny piece of steel. You can't read it. It looks terrible on camera. I don't know what title it is unless it says in the description. And there's dozens of these all over the Northeast, probably in the Midwest and the West Coast as well. But I just see them all the time now. And yeah, sure, they got one or two cool straps or whatever. Maybe they're blue or gray or red or whatever, but they're just everywhere. And I cannot stand them. They just look so cheap.
Yeah, and I feel a little bit of engravement on it, and that's it.
Yeah, and if you want your company to look like, at least, you know, I don't want to say respectable because that seems like a way bigger slap than I'm trying to give here, but like you want the belts to give a sense of awe to the fans and feel like an actual trophy that these characters are trying to win in front of you, and for it to just look like a $50 piece of a $50 toy. It looks like a toy, and these guys are like killing each other in table matches and ladder matches and these big blow-off feuds for this little trinket. It really kills the vibe to me. And if you want your company to look good, The first thing is the logo, and the second thing might be the belt.
It's and, like those old cardboard belts you had when you were doing the backyard feds when you were younger.
Yeah, right? I would rather have a replica belt with stickers on it than these mirror belts. That's just me personally. But they look terrible. They look terrible. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. I can't get over it.
You want to be able to take photos of your champion and the belt. Every show of them, the flash hits the belt, and you can't even see what it is.
Right, it just completely reflects. Like, I can see my face better than what's written on it.
I got one more pet peeve to tell you guys, too. Finishes. Nobody knows. Everybody's doing the same finish in matches. And it's like, I watched two people do roll-ups in one show, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the same finish that happened two matches ago.
See, now, they were talking about comedy, and I've worked with this guy. I'm pretty sure they know who I'm talking about.
Mr. Ulala.
Ulala. And
we know of him. We never met him.
Really?
So every single time
we're going to introduce you to him.
So every single time I've worked with Ulala, we've called everything in the back. And he's always like, you're repping this match, right? Like, yeah. He's like, you have to keep a straight goddamn face through everything I'm doing. I'm like, okay. First time I repped with him, I'm like, okay. I go out there and I try not to crack up. I'm like, I'm putting my hand over my face while counting and blah, 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 blah. Because he's the most comedic wrestler, legendary wrestler there is. I mean, I only know one other comedic wrestler besides you guys and him.
There's a lot of them.
I know, but I only know one of them.
See, Mr. Ulala told me one thing when I interviewed him. What was it? Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. No, I'm just kidding.
You should know he lives 3 minutes from your house.
Yes, he does live 3 minutes from my house. So he told me, like, the first time he did a match, and he was wrestling King Kong Bundy. I had to think of who it was. It's always...
Another legend.
So he's like, no, wait, was it Animal Steel?
Was it Meanie?
No, it was Animal Steel.
Okay.
King Kong Bundy was George's mom, story, with her husband.
Different one.
George Animal Steel. He goes, hey, George, what are we doing today? He goes, we're doing nothing. And that's how he learned how to do nothing. I had to remember, like, a bunch of stories in my head.
I've rapped with a guy named Norm the Barfly, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, two bumps, maybe a lockup, hit, and then we'll do a finish, and then
sit at a bar.
Sit at the bar.
It's funny that you brought up the whole, like, we're doing nothing. We had the privilege of wrestling Rock and Roll Express, and we were going over, like, ideas in the back, and they were like, what do you guys do? And we kind of started talking about, like, we're like, we spank guys, and like, we do a bunch of, like, nonsense.
Well, you gotta remember, originally he was starting to talk about, like, we're gonna lock up, we're gonna do this, arm drag that, classic, you know, traditional opening wrestling match, and then this happens.
It was Rick. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Ricky goes, oh, these boys don't want to wrestle to work. And I think about the time we'd call it now.
Did we lose?
No, they're still there.
Yep.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
So, speaking of Ricky Morton segue, so I'm friends with a guy named Chris Hamrick, high-flying Chris Hamrick. And Chris Hamrick has been friends with Ricky Morton almost all his life.
You're doing ribs?
Yeah, we're doing ribs, yeah. Did Ricky Morton rib you guys?
No, but Robert ribbed Ricky while we were there. After the match, we asked if we could photo, because, like, they're like the Babe Ruths of wrestling. Like, it felt like, you know, a thing that, like, I'd have and be able to ship my hypothetical non-kids one day. And we get a photo. Robert is already done getting changed. And I was like, oh, Robert, can we grab a quick photo? Yeah, no problem. And he's like, we got to take right now. And he sees that Ricky is, like, completely undressed in just his underwear sitting there. And Ricky's like, could you give me a minute? It's like, nope, it's now or never. We're taking the photo. In the photo of us, the three of us standing, and Ricky is sitting down with his lower half out of frame, with throwing up the rock and roll, because he's completely undressed from the waist down. And I thought it was funny, because I was like, these guys have been a tag team for so many decades, and they're still ribbing here all these years later.
Well, at least he didn't shit in your bag.
Yeah. Didn't get any shag.
So
the first thing Ricky actually said to us when we met them was, hi, I'm Ricky. That's Robert over there. He sucks. But please don't let anybody know he sucks.
I mean, I have a Ricky Morton story for you. The man is 60-something now, I think. And a friend of mine went to the Battleground show the last time they were here. And the man hit a Canadian destroyer. He did move.
Yeah. Yeah. He went on me last August.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
that's still pretty cool.
Star match.
Mm-hmm. I think it was him and Enzo that night. So.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking to him, he goes, all right, you boys, we're wrestling you boys tonight, right? And he goes, yeah, he points at me and goes, so you're taking the Canadian? I went, yes, sir.
Dude, are you reading my mind?
I saw where your hand went. All right, so now we're going to play a little game.
Yeah, we got games.
We got games. We're not, like we said, you want us to be like an early morning radio show? So we're going to be like an early morning radio show. So we got a game that we call the 5 Questions of Doom. So what this... Yeah, thank you. So what this is, it's 5 questions. These 5 questions are non-wrestling related.
Woo! Gotta love that, right?
Perfect. Wade's
gonna ace it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So this should be pretty cool.
Okay, question number one. I like that music in the background. Oh, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars, 100%.
Star Wars.
Hold up, the other...
No, I got a Star Wars story real quick. So somebody posted on my wall, what's one thing you never say to a Star Wars person?
I wrote, live long and prosper.
If someone said to me, like, hey, get into Star Wars, what else should I try? I would say, again, you should try again.
Yeah. Goes back to the Fanboys movie.
Oh, great, great. Oh,
yeah. Love awesome. That movie. Question number...
Bugs Bunny or Mickey Mouse?
I gotta go Mickey Mouse. I have a feeling Rad's gonna go Bugs.
I'm absolutely going Bugs Bunny. That's because I have zero association with Disney.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a Disney. The wall of Mickey is behind me in this room that I'm in.
Question number 3.
Okay, there's 3 names on this one. Alvin, Simon, or Theodore? Which ones do you like? Which one do you like?
Probably associates with Simon, because I was a nerd.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. And I used to work...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
Question number 4.
What superpowers would you want?
I'd probably go with teleportation because these show drives are killing me. It'd be so cool to wrestle wherever I'm having a match.
I feel the same way, but I would just went with healing factor. So I don't ache every morning anymore.
See, I'm a big fan of Wolverine, so yes, I want to keep on healing.
Regeneration.
Yeah.
Question number 5. Let me try that again.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
It sounded like I was trying to take a poop.
Yeah, I think you died.
Question number 5.
Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark?
Ooh. Bruce Wayne. 100% Bruce Wayne.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That hurts after a while.
Can we talk about how good the new movie was? Because
I didn't see it yet.
And I won't say anything else except that it's really good and you should go see it.
Thank you. The one thing I do enjoy, the fact that, what's his name? Played the Penguin. Colin Farrell.
There you go. Good job.
Colin Farrell played the Penguin. Great. I saw the makeup and the outfit. Don't even look like Colin Farrell. And I love that Andy Serkis is playing Alfred.
Oh, yeah. Casting in the movie is fantastic. And, like, everyone is perfect in their roles.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it. But April 18th, it comes to Peacock or HBO Max or one of them. So I'll wait until April 18th.
See, I gave the movie a 6.5.
What was that?
I think it'll be out by the end of the month on HBO Max, too. So.
Yeah, April 18th, from what I'm hearing.
There you go.
Awesome. Sorry, I want to give a little side story to the voices. So I am a horror actor as well. I don't know if you guys... what's that?
I was shocked that one of your questions wasn't, what's your favorite scary movie? Because it felt like it was coming.
Well, I mean, I can do...
Want to play a game?
So I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. I work at a place called the Bates Motel.
Oh, yeah. The horror.
Right. So I'm one of the actors there. I've been there for about almost 10 years. And I enjoy every minute of it. I come out every night hurt, sore, like I'm reffing a match, but it's still fun.
Don't ever have food in front of you, like fries. He'll eat them.
I'm not New Jack, all right?
You did do it.
Once.
Yeah, I screamed at you.
But New Jack stole the whole plate.
Yes, he did. I'm not a happy camper about that either. Our feud is over. He died. I'm so sad.
Still a nice guy.
You could tell Jack not to do it. If New Jack tries to steal your fries, you're giving him...
I'm giving him my friggin' fries. It's New Jack. Here you go. I'll buy another one. See ya.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of those weird ones that puts mayo on your fries. That's a different story.
Yeah.
Right.
New Jack is the only wrestler I've ever met who I referred to actually as Sir the entire time I talk.
I would too.
Gerald Briscoe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I met Gerald Briscoe, I'm like, hello, sir.
Yeah, there's a different level of a different sir. The prince and the please don't kill me version.
Yeah, it's true. The really great thing about Gerald Briscoe when I met him 2 weeks ago was he remembered me from Icon, which was really cool because he remembered the Dave bit.
Yeah, we have a Dave bit. When we do see you in the future, we want to have a Dave picture with you guys.
In the future.
Yeah.
Is this where we insert the Doctor Who song? So in the future?
No.
I love getting pictures. It's like I go way back. I used to get photos when I was a fan of shows. And one of the things I've been trying to do and do since I've been working shows is anytime I'm on a show locker room with somebody I photo with as a fan, I get a new version of us as like both wrestlers, and then I put them both together. So I have both versions, and they're usually like at least 10 or 15 years apart. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, that is kind of fun.
That's pretty cool. I got to do that with the Gerald Briscoe pictures.
I know I go by DB Richards on the show, but I am a Dave. So is Keener over here.
Always a Dave.
So one day I was like, hey, I want to have fun and fuck around with people because I'm a ribber, you know what I mean? So at work, I started finding people named Dave. So I started like hanging out with people with Dave. When the manager starts saying, hey, Dave, we all say yes. So that was the fun part. And then I'm like, what should I do? So David Arquette was doing autographs and I got him.
He was at a House of Hardcore show.
Got like Dave, my two other friends that are named Dave, and me in a 5-day picture, and then start doing day pictures when going out to like shows and all that. It's like, hey, can I get a day picture with you? To the wrestler named Dave, and went on, and I'm like, Dave, I need to find something else. I'm gonna get my name Dave stickers and put it on wrestlers so they can be a Dave.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where it's so funny that actually on our 20 Tournament Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, it says, hello, my name is Dave on our shirts now. So anywhere we go, people want to get the pictures, and it's pretty cool that they want to do that.
Yeah.
It's a fun idea.
What's that?
No, I dig it.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's kind of cool. Like, Dave Adams always wants to get a picture. He's like, oh, let's get a Dave picture.
And I mean, it's gotten to the point where people that I know in the business, like Gabby Gilbert, well, she's training and helping out people. And she's like, these two guys are the 2300. They probably got one of the best podcasts around. Get to know them and get on their show and put yourself out there.
That's so nice of her.
Thank you, Gabby. Much appreciated, Gabby Gilbert. Thank you.
So I want to jump right into a table of five. So
there's no voices here with that one. So
no voices. Say, I don't do any of that.
No, nothing this. With that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's the end of the show. I don't want to touch that one.
Well, I mean, insert you fucked up chant.
I have somebody that does this stuff for me, and it's me playing around with
it. He won't be here till Sunday.
Yeah, I know. So, table five. So you're going to put four more tag teams at your table that you have wrestled or did stuff with in storyline.
I'm going to go out on a limb. The Rock and Roll Express is somewhere in there.
Hey, if it is, it is.
Right.
But just you guys can pick who you want, or you guys want to be doing it separate. It's all up to you.
Yeah, it's all your call.
I mean, we'll put them as a tag team since, you know, whoever they get is a big team. So, yeah, Rock and Roll definitely going to be on there.
I'll pick. I definitely want to throw MSP on there because we had a great 3 series of matches with them.
100% definitely would put MSP on there.
Yeah.
One of my favorite teams we've wrestled, who is no longer a team, but we had 2 very fun matches with them, is Connecticut called Zane Lee Rude. Super fun. And super, like, guys that we go way back, so I feel like they have to be at the table. This is the last. Who are we?
I'm thinking because I of course I'd love to add Waves and Curls, but we only had a quick 6-man tag running with them.
Those guys are cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. We seem to be running teams out of town because a lot of teams we wrestle end up going by the wayside.
It's okay. I can edit this quiet part. Whatever you want.
I definitely have one. Literally one of my favorite matches we've ever had last year was a team called the A-Team, which was Andy Harner and Aaron Arbo.
That's cool.
Absolute legends. That was a phenomenal time. That was their last match. They have yet to wrestle since. So.
Yeah, so as of right now, we have Unbreakable, these final match, which is unreal. Underground King of Independent. Another team, my last probably, again, we've only had one match with them, but I really hope we have more because it was such a fun match. Miracle Generation, currently doing a lot of stuff up in like Wrestling Open, Kylon King and Sin Waller, 2 really young talent ring. And then the other option would be formerly known as TP5, a Young Dumb Broke, Ellis Taylor and Charlie.
We're friends with Griffin, so
yeah, so like that last spot could go to like 1 or 3 teams. But just because of how far back we go, I'll say the A team with the last spot. Arbo and Andy are great, and Andy is real in the ring.
And I'm still super happy with that match. That was a fantastic showcase of them as high flyers and us kind of throwing our personalities out there.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's great. Thank you. That was awesome.
That was great. I like it. So let's go into...
What did your family think of when you said, hey, I want to be a professional wrestler?
Well, so it's funny because because my dad's the one who got to wrestling. I think he ever saw me like going into it because I've always been big and out of shape and like clumsy. So when I was doing the yard wrestling thing, all he would ever say was like, he was fine with it because he's like, hey, you're not out there doing drugs or anything. You're just learning wrestling with your friends. Who cares? His only advice always was just, hey, don't get hurt. That was it. Mm-hmm. So that was basically my dad thought of it was, hey, don't get hurt. And if you're having fun and not hurting anybody, then who cares?
That's really the best advice.
Yeah. When my mom found out that me and my brother were getting involved, she's like, because we enjoy it. We have fun. She's like, okay, but know this. I'll never come to a show. She came to maybe one or two shows. And the one show she came to, my brother took a powerbomb from a guy named Derek Domino. And she goes, never again.
We've both been lucky enough to have our parents, dad, and Rad's out at different shows at different times. I mean, it's tougher for Rad because his mom lives out in Vegas, where he grew up. My dad has driven to like CBA to come watch us win tag titles. So, he's all for it. He always asks me about wrestling like within a few hours, where and when.
And I mean, you got great dads that are very supportive, like Scott Hastings. He supports his son Ty Awesome 100% wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah. He's usually at his merch table.
Yes.
We got that.
Oh yeah.
I've actually wrestled Ty Awesome once. That was before the stepdad.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a great supporter.
He started doing a podcast now. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he's just doing a bunch of wrestling shows and that's it.
Yeah, he had us commentate Ty's last match. So
that didn't work.
I'm not getting there. Going off.
No.
It didn't work.
Something went wrong and I didn't know what it was.
It's probably the band playing in the background.
Yeah, it was just horrible. Don't ever have a band at a wrestling show. It's horrible.
I mean, at a firehouse. But I mean, if it's in like a place like the ECW Arena, it's a different story. Because then you can put the band up high and it's really, you don't hear them that much.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because one time we had a show, Wade can go into more detail, where we had to wait for the band to finish playing for us to start wrestling because the band was in the ring.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute.
So we literally had to wait for bands before.
Were you guys in the Body Slam movie?
The story behind that was a guy I know who runs a business in Bradley, New Jersey, down the shore there. They were doing like a Latin festival in town, and they were doing like a big Latin fest, and he knew I was a wrestler, so he's like, hey, I'm going to rent a ring. Would you be able to get and like put together like a 3-match show? So I did, and being really good, like not to toot my own horn, but like had Evie Young on the show versus Everett Cross, the main event. We wrestled Matt DeMorris and The Whisper. It was a solid match show. The crowd, like 300 people watching the show, just like walking up off the watch wrestling. It was so cool. But he kept apologizing. He goes, I got to push you guys back. The band's still playing. And I'm like, yeah, the band is in the ring. So yeah, I don't think we could start.
I could see the Barbarian getting in the ring, starting to beat up the equipment and everything else.
It was very silly. But it ended up being, so I can honestly say I ran one show. Everyone paid. They got food and money.
Wow,
so you know,
got hot dogs and got paid.
Or Spanish food, but yeah, they got their hot and a handshake and an envelope with money. So I'm already better than 90% of promoters out there. So,
Sir, excuse me, I had a sneeze. Sorry about that one.
So I'm
all about the heat lately. Sorry.
So one of the things that got me like marking out, you guys were talking about.
You mean geeking out?
Okay, geeking out. Yeah, like talking about Transformers. What? They were talking about Transformers one day.
Okay.
My favorite thing about Transformers is the 1980 movie.
With that 86. Really bad theme song?
No. Love that theme song. Don't ever say that again.
What was that?
You got the touch.
Ah, yes. Yeah. You got the touch. You got the touch!
Do you know who sings it, Dave? Do you? His name is Stan Bush. Get it right.
Who is it?
Stan Bush.
Is that the same guy that did Broken Glass from Little Monsters?
I don't think so.
Sound of Broken Glass?
No. No.
Right. Fun fact about Stan Bush, he actually did like the theme for Chikara at one point and like other shows and performed. Just crazy. But the big Transformers fan between the two of us would be Rad. So direct that to him.
I am the one with the Peter Weller autograph downstairs there. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I get on your way? Right there.
that's like me. I'm a huge horror guy, so I have John Carpenter's autograph upstairs in a frame, and I have.
Oh, you want to talk about autograph?
Wait, that goes into that question. Hang on. So I also have a Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes autograph. No, not horror, but they're two of my favorite guys. And I also have a Ash autograph of Bruce Campbell from Army of Darkness. So that gets into my question that I've been asked. We haven't asked this question in a while. The memorabilia question.
Here we go. Let's do it.
So you were talking about the autograph and stuff like that. Do you have any other really, really cool memorabilia?
We've got a bunch.
Rad, I'll let you go because my answer.
Mine's very limited. So I'm not crazy about autographs, but I definitely like getting autographs at certain times. Wade has been awesome as a tag team partner and a friend because every year for some holiday or for my birthday or something, he always finds a way to pop me with the silliest or coolest autograph. So I've gotten some weird ones like Disco Inferno, and I've gotten some awesome ones like Adam West in the Batman suit with the surfer trunks and the surfboard. Autograph to Daniel, my shoot name. Like, it's awesome. And I'll say right now, thank you for that, Wade. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Did he do the Bat-Toosie in the picture?
What's that?
Was he doing the Bat-Toosie in the picture too?
Oh, I wish. But no, he looks very confused, which is what I expect from this Batman. So perfect.
Yeah, I'm literally sitting in a room surrounded by memorabilia right now. I do collect autographs. I have somewhere in the ballpark of about 4,000.
I thought you were Bat TB. Wow.
Yeah, I don't have that. I have more movies on DVD than anything.
I also have a whole dresser full of Blu-rays in front of me, and these. I have a whole, like probably 100 plus soap pops that I had to collect things because one, why? Two, I ran out of space. But yeah, like I'm a hockey fan. I have a lot of hockey stuff, like jerseys and stuff in the closet. But yeah, there's, so you're talking about like weird press, like horror. I have most of the cast of the movie 2, like the worst horror movie ever made.
Which one? What was it?
Troll 2.
Oh, that was so bad. It was out there with critters.
Yeah, I have autographs for the cast. I have autographs from most of the cast of the movie, the Citizen Kane of movies. I also have autographs from, like, I signed a name photo from Leslie Nielsen. I have so many sports autographs. It's ridiculous.
So we attend this thing called Monster Mania almost every year. And
down in Cherry Hill?
Yeah, down in Cherry Hill.
Scream's going to be there this time.
Right, and the whole cast from Scream's going to be there in August. We're actually going to the one in Oaks in November because Corey Taylor from Slipknot is going to be there. So I'm a huge Slipknot guy, and so is my stepson and my son. So we go to that. Last one I went to, I had a really cool conversation with Ilian Mitchell Smith.
And?
Do you remember who Ilian Mitchell Smith is?
He
played Wyatt in Weird Science.
Oh, okay.
Both him and Anthony Michael Hall were at the last con, and it was really cool to sit there and talk to both of them. So it was fun. And James Remar was there, too, from Warriors and Mortal Kombat. So,
I've never been to Mania. I'm actually going to the one in Cherry Hill because I have a friend who's a huge Scream fan, so I might be going.
Yeah, and you were talking about Funko Pops. I have 7 totes full of Funko Pops right now that I can't put out because we just got a dog. And I'm working on getting shelving put up in my house so that I can put them up higher so that he don't get them.
And he doesn't want me to rib him and move his pop toys everywhere.
You'll probably think I'm a heathen because all of mine are out of the boxes.
Oh no, mine are in the box. Every single one of them are still in the box. I check them monthly.
I have all on display outside the boxes. Like right in front of me, I have the full set of goes from Twin Peaks, one of my all time favorite shows. And behind me, I have a Marvel one. There's so many. It's like a lot of Marvel.
I'm a huge Nightmare Before Christmas guy. I own every single Nightmare Before Christmas Funko Pop, except for the ones at about $700. But
that's one of my autographs in my collection is I do have a signed photo of Boogie Boogie Ken Fish from Nightmare Before Christmas.
We are actually supposed to be going to Maryland, Huntington Valley, Maryland, sometime in October, the first weekend of October, because Ken Page and Chris Sarandon are supposed to be at that one.
Yes, I did see that actually.
So that's been pretty cool. What are you getting tired over there, DB?
No, I'm just waiting for you to. I got a Bret Hart autograph book.
Yeah, you're like, and
I framed it. Pink and blue.
Oh, did you meet him when he was doing his book tour for his book?
No. So here's the story. My stepmom bought me the book for Christmas. All my friends got put money in there and bought me the book. So I had 2 copies. So the one my friends gave me is the one I read. And one day I was like over my parents' house. And And I'm like, upstairs. And I was like, oh, you still have this. You didn't send it back. They go, can I have it? And they're like, yeah. So my friend was going to California and he bought a ticket and he got it autographed for me.
Did he sing the song when he went back to California?
Why do you ask these stupid?
No, but he literally in his house, it's like if you went to Ellis Island and you see the book that they have there.
In the frame, yeah.
In the frame. That's how this book looks. It's open to the page with Bret Hart's autograph to Dave, blah, 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 blah. And it's in the glass with the wood frame around it and everything else. It's like one of those things where you put the do not touch sign above it.
My copy is on the Shine Mate because I met him when he was doing the signing of his jersey when he released the book. And it's one of the things I've ever been stuck meeting someone in general because I'm usually pretty tough. And I met Bret Hart and just completely saw my words and looked him dead in the face, took him and shook his hand. And I was like, you were my childhood. And that's what I said to the greatest wrestler of all time. And then I walked away. And I think about it every day. And that's why I just go now because it's always in the back of my brain.
I was just at the Icons last weekend. Was it last weekend? Yeah. And they had Bret Hart, the Hardys, Tony Storm, Juice Robinson, Mickey Ivory, and Victoria. So you could barely walk in. Now, I don't know if you guys have been in the 2300 Arena, but that place is usually big. But with this many great amount of talent and names, you couldn't even walk. I had to stand in one corner because I could barely move. And I mean, it was so cool to hang out. Like, Billy Gunn even remembered me. So it was cool to sit there and talk to him for a little bit.
So I did meet Bret Hart later on. I didn't meet him yet, but I met him at the Blue Rocks game in Wilmington. And guy in front of me had a WrestleMania DVD that Bret wasn't on. And
yeah, I remember you telling me this story.
And I'm like, dude, Bret Hart wasn't on that pay-per-view. What the hell are you getting him to sign up for?
Which WrestleMania was it?
I don't remember. Bret wasn't there. I think he was in WCW by then.
Did Bret even say, hey, I'm not on the show, I'm not signing this?
No, I said, hey, Bret, sign over Shawn Michaels' face yet. And Bret goes, yeah, he's not going to do anything about it. And he wrote right over his face.
That's heat right there.
That's when they weren't friends.
No, I remember talking to Meanie about that, stuff like that, and Meanie couldn't find any spot to sign an autograph. So he just went over the whole entire page. Blue Meanie.
I just recently got the wrestler movie autographed by him and
Necro
and Anderson.
I have a copy of my DVD copy of Sin City signed by Mickey Rourke from when he was filming the wrestler because he filmed part of it at Jersey All Pro.
Yeah.
And I was there to photo. I used to be the photographer for Jersey All Pro, so I was there for it.
That is so cool.
That is pretty cool.
I would love to meet Mickey Rourke. That would be awesome for my autograph.
Now, my opinion on Mickey Rourke is the what was the one movie where before Marble Man?
Yes.
Harley Davidson, the Marble Man before
Don Johnson.
Before he had all the surgery and everything else done.
That's
the Mickey Rourke I liked.
That's the Don Johnson I like.
Yeah, that one before all the surgery and it. You knew who Mickey Rourke was, and now you see him, and I don't recognize him.
I recognize Don Johnson.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's like Val Kilmer. Look at him.
He was sick.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer, you mean the best Bruce Wayne?
Did he just say that?
Thank you. Good night. No, I'm kidding.
That's
funny. I'm a Michael Keaton guy. I will always be a Michael Keaton guy. And I like the other Batmans. George Clooney was okay. Val Kilmer was good. Robert Pattinson, when he glitters.
Michael Keaton's a good Batman. He's just a weird Bruce Wayne. I don't like him as Bruce. I like him in the suit. I don't like him out of it. It's weird.
In a way, he's like the most realistic Bruce Wayne because he's clearly also crazy and not even hiding it.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that's Michael Keaton.
We have this conversation on road trips all the time about the different Batman. So
I have a question. Do you know what Michael Keaton's real name is?
It's not Michael Keaton?
It's not Michael Keaton.
What is it?
I'm asking them for
Michael Douglas.
Yes. Is Did it? You look it's that really up? Yes, it's Michael Douglas.
Wow. All right. Yep. We'll go with that. Then you want to go superheroes? What's Nicolas Cage's real name?
I can't pronounce it.
Nicolas Coppola.
Nicolas Coppola is his real name.
Yeah.
The reason why he changed it is because he didn't want his fame because of his uncle.
Yeah, because he's the Godfather dude. Yeah, I know that.
Did you see the new Nick Cage movie coming out where he just plays Nick Cage?
Oh my gosh, that looks so funny.
And I mean, I saw the one where he was in the fight. Five Nights of Freddy, like where they were coming alive and he was beating, like, he had to go clean a, what do you call it?
I appreciate just how fully off the rails he's gone because he also did that Mom and Dad movie was fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like to quote him, he's gone all you.
I will always love.
What was that Netflix movie he did where he had to go clean the Chuck E. Cheese type place and they all started to come to life and he killed them?
The actual name of it was, oh God. I just think of it as the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, but.
Right, that's what I think of it as.
Yeah, I thought it was like something Freddy.
It's Willy's Wonderland.
Yes, that's it. But that's... I watched it. It wasn't that bad.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
I watched it.
I love movies.
I mean, he still begged me to watch Cobra Kai, and I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
I'm still upset with him. He goes, hey, you need to check out these shows. I haven't watched them just because he tells me to watch them. Until he watches Cobra Kai, and then I'll do it.
What's your guys' new favorite show to watch then? Like, what are you binging on right now?
Oh, God. Lately, I haven't been watching anything. I've been rewatching old stuff because, like, if I'm watching something new, I need to commit myself to it, and I'm always doing other things when I'm watching TV. Mm-hmm. So lately, I've been rewatching Black Mirror, which I love. I love sci-fi dystopian stuff, so Black Mirror is right up my alley. I also recently rewatched the entire series of Community, which is one of my favorite sitcoms ever.
That's a funny show.
We've been rewatching Firefly.
That's a good one. And what did I get your girlfriend?
Psych.
Yes.
And we've been our flags mean death, which is on HBO Max now. It's pretty funny watching that. And we watched the Kate Winslet show that was filmed around here.
East of Mirror of Easttown.
Yeah. If you get a chance, watch Mary Easttown, because I sit there and watch them. Yep. Drank at that bar. Got a cheesesteak from that place. I know where they hang out. It's pretty cool to see different TV shows and different movies and stuff like that filmed where you grew up.
Yeah. Oh, for mostly, sure. Mostly it was in Chichester.
Right. And I mean, to see them going, you get coffee from Wawa and cheesesteaks from the Spadas. I'm like, yes!
They were at, it was Million, whatever.
Right.
And that place has been closed down for a while. They got a new place there, and I don't know what it's called.
There's this bar we hang out at called the Sundance Saloon in Aston, PA.
It was there too, yeah.
We got to sit in the chairs that Kate Winslet and the other guy were in.
You know who the other guy was, right?
Yeah, I just forgot his name.
Guy?
Yeah, I got him on my phone.
Oh, yeah, and you're looking up?
Stuff like that's pretty cool.
About time you look things up. So,
I'm not George.
You want to end it with three matches?
Sure, let's end it with three matches. So three matches is the question. So we're going to ask you three of your favorite matches and then three favorite matches growing up that you enjoyed, whatever. You know what I mean? So we'll start it with three favorite matches that you always enjoyed watching.
Rattle, you go first.
This is just our matches or matches that we enjoy?
So three the matches first you enjoyed. Will be matches that you enjoyed and the other half will be matches of your own.
But you guys can do that together and pick whoever you want to pick. You know? Okay.
For me, the first one that always comes to mind when I just, not that I watch it all the time, but it's always the first thing that someone's like, let's just watch a random match. I think of any Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn match from ECW, Living Dangerously 99, Hardcore Heaven 2000, and then Guilty as Charged 2001. All three of those pay-per-views have an amazing RVD versus Jerry Lynn match, and I could sit there and watch them wrestle half an hour and never get tired of it. I absolutely love that feud and that style of wrestling, which has pretty much become the independent wrestling style now, like an AEW style, 20-something years before.
Jerry Lynn, one of the nicest guys I've ever worked with.
Mm.
He's awesome.
Very cool dude to talk to. Yeah, I was at Icons and he just walked over and started talking to me. Like Jim Cornette did.
Jim Cornette would hate us.
Yeah, probably.
Jim Cornette really did come up to me and goes, hey, how you doing?
All right, so two more matches that you guys enjoyed.
You want to go with one way?
Sure. One of the matches that always gets me hyped, because I love, one thing we haven't talked about much is I love Japanese style of wrestling. I love the strong style. I love the King's Road stuff. So there's a match from the Misawa tribute show in Pro Wrestling NOAH that's Nakajima and Kensuke Sasaki, who is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, versus Kenta and Go Shiozaki, where they just kill each other for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing Nakajima does when he gets in the ring is get chopped in the face by Go Shiozaki, and it's all uphill from there. And it is insane. It gets me so hyped every time I watch it.
This is what gets on my nerves. A lot of people see the Japanese wrestlers and love it and everything else, but Kenta was that icon, and nobody came to talk to him. I did, but
Kenta's so good.
But nobody saw him. He was standing there, and nobody wanted to talk to him. Like, it's Kenta. Come on, guys.
The Japanese King's Road style is, like, my favorite. It's all the stories told in the ring, and it grows every time you wrestle someone. It's so good. And, like, I love the strong style combined with it. It's one of my favorite styles of wrestling.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I mean... I'll rattle off my other two really quick because I don't want to hold this up too long. One match I always show people if they're not into wrestling, just to show them how crazy wrestling could be, is at King of Trios, Chikara, Kota Ibushi versus Jigsaw versus Nick Jackson versus El Generico is one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. And then one of my favorite story matches ever was also a Chikara match, and it was Vineyard versus Fire Ant for the Young Lions Cup. The story of it is so good. The moment is so good. The faces surround the ring and cheer Fire Ant on, who is now obviously Orange Cassidy. I don't know if that's pulling the curtain back.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's only all these. Also, Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. Sorry, guys.
Damn. Okay, yeah, watch that.
That match is so good from Young Lions Cup 6. So those are my other two that I really love.
The one thing I loved about Chikara when it was around was Tommy Dreamer. When they did the King of Trios and Tommy Dreamer breaks out the remote, and it's a six man. I think it's Scorp, Dreamer, and Jerry Lynn, when Jerry Lynn still had the long hair. And yep. Tommy hits him slow, and he comes across, and Jerry Lynn just grabs his hair and pulls it back like he was hitting harder in slow motion, and he goes back. And I always found those spots funny. And then the Chuck Taylor spot with the grenade.
Yeah.
Those were always funny. Speaking of
Tommy. You want to hit off your other two favorites real quick?
Oh, yeah. Mine, too, will be real quick. I absolutely loved any Danielson-McGinnis match. I feel like the most popular one would be from Unified, which is the one where McGinnis headbutts the ring post shoot and busts himself open. That's kind of the most memorable one. But they had hour-long draws. They had pure style matches. Like that. They had an amazing one from, I think it was Driven 2009 or something like that. That was an amazing match on pay-per-view. So any of those matches between those guys are classics. If RVD Jerry Lynn made me want to be a wrestler as a kid, those matches almost made me not want to be a wrestler because of how excellent they were and how I could never achieve that. And for nostalgia's sake, like I said, I grew up a WCW NWA kid. Through the Monday Night Wars, I was all about Nitro. Unfortunately, I was all about Thunder, which is why we do Thunder Buddies on our podcast. But we're on our way up to Halloween Havoc 1998, which I saw live on pay-per-view, where Goldberg wrestled DDP. And for me, in my opinion, that's the best match either guy ever had. That's one of the best WCW matches of all time. Easily the best pay-per-view match. Maybe top three that WCW ever had. I absolutely love that match. I love the story of that match. Two faces in the 90s, which is kind of super rare outside of like maybe Mania 12 or something, having two faces for the world title.
Mania 6.
And I absolutely love it. Like even the mistakes that happen later in the match, because Goldberg, shocker, gets concussed and has a hard time hitting the jackhammer and stuff for real, it just made the match better to me. So whenever I want to have a little bit of, you know, that 8-year-old in me feel and remember why I love wrestling, I'll turn that on for, you know, the 12 minutes it is, and I absolutely love it.
Was that the one where it cut off? DDP and Goldberg went to lock up and it went off the air?
Yeah, I remember it very well. They locked up and I think they both fell out of the ring and then it cut out, and I remember my family's drastically trying to figure out what's wrong, and by the time it came on, the first thing we saw was Goldberg on the second rope holding the belt, and that was it. So the next night on Nitro, they aired the entire match in its entirety, and the one thing nobody ever mentions is that everyone who ordered a pay-per-view got some sort of WCW t-shirt or merchandise or something. I got an apology package.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was Halloween Havoc, right? Yeah, they got like a Halloween Havoc t-shirt and stuff like that for those that ordered it because of what happened with that match.
Yeah, I ended up getting some sort of Sting t-shirt. I remember that from WCW themselves. I wish I still had the box that said from WCW, but so I was a part of that. I remember that happening, and it was exactly as everybody says it happened.
So I have a Jerry Lynn story for you real quick, the other one. So I'm sitting there up in Trooper. I'm working for this company called 3KW, and it was owned and ran by Steve Carino.
I know who he is.
Yeah, and...
Well, hold on. You're telling me there's a company called KKKW?
3KW. Well,
Okay.
3.
Sure.
I don't know why he said 3KW, but it was up there. And
all right.
I'm sitting there, and I got the towel over my head drying off and everything else, and I feel this hand come on my back. Hey, you okay, kid? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, a little tired, blah, blah, blah. I look up and go, oh, shit, hi. It was Jerry Lynn sitting next to me.
No. Really? Me,
yeah.
You know, without being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But it was cool to sit there, and then all of a sudden, I'm talking to him, and then all the young lions start coming over, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got a match. Let me go ref. I'm like, Jerry, you're not this match I'm reffing, but you're the following one. He's like, okay, cool. Thank you, kid. And I went to ref my match, and I'm like,
I just had a really cool conversation with Jerry Lynn.
That was cool. So three matches that
they were in.
So three matches that you guys were in,
where the fans can look up on YouTube, right, YouTube or anything,
or go see the Stepdads live at any shows that they're on.
I'll definitely go first. I'll go first on this one because personally, and Wade might have a different opinion, I feel like there is easily one match that perfectly defines what the Stepdads are about, and there's some time on it, but that's because we give a lot of comedy, we give a lot of fast paced, I don't know what you call it, X Division action, whatever you want, high spot action. There's great psychology, and then there's character work at the end. It's the perfect, to me, it's the best thing we've done. It's a great mix, just because it's a great mix of all the things we can do. Usually we don't get to do everything in one failed swoop, but we also don't usually wrestle over 30 minutes. And that was from, I believe it was September or October of 2019. We wrestled a team called the Ugly Ducklings from the South, came all the way up to upstate New York to wrestle us. We were given 10 to 12 minutes. We ended up going, I think it was like 32. And the booker was more than thrilled because all these other matches went short that night. And we ended up bringing it all the way back to the normal time. I absolutely loved that match. We had a slow-mo spot. We had dives. We had insanity, absolute insanity in that match. I'm very proud of that match. So Stepdads versus Ugly Ducklings. You can find it on our YouTube page, Stepdads Wrestling, and on Facebook, Stepdads Wrestling.
I'm definitely going to watch that match after this.
I'll throw out one that I feel like Rad won't think of, but it's fun to see something like of the earlier matches we had. It's probably one of my favorites. And it was at a studio taping at Warriors of Wrestling. And it's one of the few times you could see us as heels. And it was the Stepdads versus Sunny Kiss and Dickie Moon. And we wrestled just in front of like a bunch of other wrestlers. But it was such a fun, like even watching it back, like it's a fun match where we're comedy heels. And I think we have some really fun moments in it that we haven't gotten to do much since because we don't really wrestle as heels too often. And I think it's still a good match, even though it was one of our earlier ones. I think it was one of the earlier ones that I felt like we had something with the gimmick.
I'll also say, because we've done a lot, like I said, we did a little bit of everything in that one match, but we've also done street fights. We've had hardcore matches. We had a stepladder match at one point, because we're the Stepdads. Obviously, we have to have a stepladder match. But I personally enjoyed a particular street fight we had for Truly Independent Wrestling, where with 9 months of buildup, taking on this team called the Dignified, we used every single dad-style weapon you can think of coming out to the ring. We literally start the match with suicide dives, keyboard shot. We had vinyl records, like the best of Bill Cosby and the sounds of trains and all this ridiculousness.
That's funny.
I had an arm injury from previous months, which cost us time on the show. We actually missed a show because of my arm injury. So we tied that back into the feud of them breaking my arm. Original rematch had brass knuckles where we won the match, but because they believed we used the brass knuckles, the belts got switched back around to the point where fans actually started to walk to the ring. And that's how pissed they were. I wouldn't say they charged the ring because they were kind of old folks, but they did leave the barricade, try to get at the heels. So we brought that back in, all sorts of stuff. We wrestled in our street fight attire, which is literally khaki pants and khaki shorts and sweaters. I absolutely love that match. That was Stepdads versus the Dignified.
Who were in the Dignified?
That was Jamar Justice and I can't remember the other guy because he retired a little bit right after.
Yeah, shoot name, but I can't think of his wrestling name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I was going to say, because there's another tag team in the area called the Dignified.
Oh, okay. No, this would be very... this would only be in Eastern Massachusetts. I believe they only wrestled for Truly Independent Wrestling.
Yeah, they're in New Jersey.
Yeah. Totally different team then. But yeah, we won these tag titles in front of 300 people that went ballistic, and it was such an awesome moment, an awesome feeling, and Wade almost died getting chokeslammed into a laundry laundry basket, and it was fantastic. Everything about it was great, except Wade almost dying.
I literally had the laundry basket. I got choked on the laundry basket. It was stuck in my back like I was a turtle. Like, it literally like went inside my back. Roman Dominguez, by the way, the name of the other guy.
Thank you. I couldn't find it. Yeah.
And I'll throw out we'll make it a fourth one, but I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Stepdads versus the Miracle Generation at Test of Strength Wrestling. Great. Like, everyone, it was funny. We watched a preview for the show, and the fans were like, oh, this is going to be so fun to watch. It's going to be such a funny match. And we literally went into it going, oh, they're expecting funny? Let's just go 10 minutes balls to the wall, X Division style match. And that's what we ended up doing. And it got all these guys chant, and the crowd was super into it. And I hope we get a rematch because it was great.
Essentially, you think of a normal tag team where the good guys go up, the heels start the heat. Good guys come back. That's a standard match. We had no heat.
Normal.
We did our best moves. They hit theirs. Went back and forth for about 9 hard minutes, and it was phenomenal.
See, I ref the match like that. It was between a guy named Smiley and Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
My knees hurt afterwards.
Oh, the Whisper. That's another guy from our back. Tied all back into the beginning. The Whisper friend of ours from back in the day that we used to backyard wrestle with. Fun fact.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great match to ref, but afterwards, it was like, because of all the falls and everything they were doing, it's just like, holy shit, my knees hurt after working with you guys. It was fun, though. I got to work with Smiley again 2 weeks ago. Always fun. But on that note...
You have a note?
I mean, sometimes. I don't think I can hit it, though. I can't sing. Can you sing?
No.
I mean, should we end this on a high note?
No, I do interviews.
Yeah,
I don't sing.
Me too. Yeah. I can sing, but not like that.
So, do you have any social media for the fans to find you all?
Oh, my goodness gracious. We're absolutely everywhere. All right, here we go. Essentially, if you type in Stepdads Wrestling and you put a space between Stepdads Wrestling, we are not liable for whatever you find. I'm sorry. If you find something weird, that's on you. But
something adult.
Yeah, sorry, we can't help you with that. But if you go on Facebook, you go on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We have a TikTok now. The Step Kids figured that out for us, so we got that. Patreon, Pro Wrestling Tees, and I'm saying all these because all you gotta do is look up the words Stepdad Wrestling, Stepdads Wrestling,
without
all
space.
One word. Yep, with no space. Make sure you figure that out. Or just the Stepdads if you're using the search engine. But Stepdads Wrestling, on Twitter, it's Stepdads Wrestle because they can't fit all the, it's too many letters. I don't know. It's crazy. But other than that, Stepdads Wrestling, we have multiple t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees, anything from the dad dudes to our Bewitched style logo that we've been selling lately. If you come to our merch tables, we have t-shirts that have the Dattitude Era on it in the style of course, the Attitude Era. and we got a shirt of us chiseled in granite that says The Gods of Dad Bod. We're all about the silliest t-shirts we can possibly do.
Awesome.
And we got a whole bunch of them. So definitely check that out. We post every single day, a new picture every day, new videos, maybe a match, maybe a promo, maybe an interview. Every other day or so, but there's a picture every day. We keep updated on there. So if you want to know where we're going to be, I literally updated it today on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. So you can always see where the Stepdads are going to be.
I'm actually looking at your Twitter page right now.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
Over 900 followers.
There you go.
And
not too bad.
And on Facebook, I think we have somewhere in the realm of like 1600 likes. But yeah, keep in mind, you can put a space between Stepdads and Wrestling. Just don't put it between Step and Dad.
That's right. On Facebook right now, we have 2,200 followers. Not too shabby for just a couple of Stepdads, wrestling in front of a live studio audience.
Okay, I'm going to hit this button.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And this has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring. And ladies and gentlemen, please give a big warm welcome for our guests on the podcast today, the Stepdads.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's the Rad Dad, Radley Belmont, alongside
Papa Bear Wade Krueger.
And you're listening to the 2300 Podcast.
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
probably
no
in the world. Extremely top 3, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, obviously they all come from the Ring of Honor dojo, so yeah. You already know you're.
So they're gonna be great. They're definitely great.
Oh yeah, for sure. You're gonna experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here. You know, we're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
Okay. Oh, what Brack said.
So once again, you know, best school probably in the world, definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy, and Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog, and he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax.
Or Brax.
You won't burn.